All right, all right. Happy New Year. It's finally here. And you're excited about a new start, a new beginning, new opportunities, new challenges, and new blessings. Because God is good all the time. Amen. And so tonight we are starting a series called Reset. And I believe you're going to get some out of it because I believe God wants to do some different things this year. And you'll hear as I talk about it tonight what this actual word means and how it's going to apply to our lives. And so as we look in the book of Philippians, Paul is writing and he says this, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." One thing. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He said, listen, there's one thing that I do. I'm forgetting the past. I know that it's there and I recognize it, but there's something greater that's calling me forward and I'm pressing toward that goal. He said, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And what that means is this, there is something that is pulling me upward toward God. You know that when we first begin to live, and as an unbeliever, there is that downward pull of death in our life. There's a natural pull. You know, we're born and eventually we die. And if you're not a believer, there is absolutely no hope for life after death. There's guessing of what it might be, but there's no hope. But as a believer, we know that when you get saved and your nature is totally changed and rearranged, that hope is deposited in your spirit by the Holy Spirit himself. And so he comes in and gives us that hope, that we have that hope for life after death. And so as a Christian, there is that upward pull toward God that says, listen, you are actually going somewhere. See, before you were going nowhere and there was nothing that was happening in your life, but now you're moving forward in your life. And so what that means is this, is that you actually have something to live for. Because God is perfecting something in you by his Spirit, and that perfection is taking place in this life, but there's a purpose in it because he's perfecting you not just for now, but for later. And so you're becoming more and more like Jesus now, because he has something in store for you later. And Paul says, I press toward that goal. And that means that you have to make a conscious effort not to dwell on what was. Be aware of what is, but be looking forward to what will be in your life. And so if we don't get that mindset, you'll stay stuck in what you should have been like or what you should have did, rather than looking forward and being in tune with God and saying, no, this is what I want to do in your life. And C.S. Lewis said this, Matt, if you put that up on the screen, is a quote. He said, listen, there are far better things ahead than any we leave behind. Any. And so if you can get that in your heart, that following is worth anything that you've had to lay down or surrender in your life, you open the world of possibility into your life because you understand that the creator of the universe in his infinite wisdom created you and knit you together in your mother's womb and has an ultimate plan for your life that's going to fit into what his plan is. And that plan you don't want to miss because it's specifically designed for you, but you have a piece in the puzzle that God is putting together in this life. And you're a vital piece. And so there should be an excitement in your life of what God is calling you to do. And I don't care whether or not it looks like it's exciting. Because it doesn't always look like there's something happening or going on in your life. But church, I've got news for you. God is a master about doing work behind the scenes. And he is the greatest showman in the world. And so he is orchestrating things in your life right now to fit into his purpose, not for mankind, but for you. And it's exciting to know that you have a part in that. So I believe that God wants us to be encouraged and excited to know that my best days are ahead. And if you could just imagine
the thoughts that God has for you and what he has planned for you. And one thing that's really been kind of birthed in my heart is to really begin to imagine the depths of God and his creativity and his plan for you. We just got back from Ohio, and it was a great trip at Christmas time. It was very cold, but we went to a museum, and in that museum, we got to go into a planetarium where we actually began to see the space and the solar systems and how things began to work together. And you don't begin to realize, first of all, the vastness and how big God is and how small you are in the midst of it. And you begin to get a different perspective about your life and what you think your life should be like and what you're actually going through. And what it does for you is that it brings you into a new level of faith to know that if there is God out there that is holding this thing together, then I am being held together by that God. Then I could be at peace in my life to know that the same God who began the work in the world is creating and doing that work in me right now. And I can be at peace during that time because I know if he created that, wonder what he's creating in me. And so, you know, when the Bible talks about the present sufferings that we are going through right now, the Bible says there's nothing that compares to the glory that shall be revealed. And a lot of times we think, well, that glory is going to be revealed to me when I'm there. No. There's a glory that God wants to reveal now in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And once you get a taste of the glory, Nacho Libre reference. Once you get a taste of the glory, you don't want anything else. And you're willing to go through what you have to go through to get it. And here's the difference that separates Christians who actually walk into all that God has for them in their life and Christians who say, you know what, it's just too hard, is that they're willing to pay the price and reset in their life. Or more importantly, allow God to reset them. And here's the kicker. Here's the important thing. It's not an easy process. Because when we get saved, God begins that process in our life. And that process takes place our whole life. And so God goes into that process with us and he begins to adjust certain areas of our life. And this is what the actual word reset means. It means this: to set, adjust, or fix in a new or different way. How many of you have ever broken a bone before or something in your body? Okay. And so what they do is that in order to get the bone reset back where it needs to be, it has to be isolated into a position for a certain amount of time so that the bone can grow back stronger really than what it was before, so that it can regain its flexibility and mobility in whatever bone it was broken. And a lot of times you'll see sports guys who will have sports injuries and they'll say, man, this guy came back better than what he did before, because it's amazing what happens with the body when it goes back and that process that takes place if it's set right. And I think sometimes in our life what happens is most of us have been in situations and difficulties in our life where we're set right. We were all born into something that was difficult. We were all born into people, our parents who have flaws. We were born in circumstances or cities that never give people a shot. We're born into situations that we're never given the ability to excel or to grow. And so it's God's plan because everyone starts that way. We all start off broken. And so when God comes in, and his desire when he saves us is to reset us back to the original intent of what he had for us in the beginning. And so that process requires being adjusted. And so if you've ever seen someone with a cast and they're walking around, it's always, hey, touch me. Or they're trying to protect that part of their body because they know that that thing has to heal right. And they put bags over their arms when they take a shower, when they're in the tub, because they can't get it wet unless you have a waterproof cast now. And so it's all done so that bone can grow back the way it should grow back. And I believe God wants to do that in our life this year. To set us, fix us in a new and different way and adjust us so that we can regain or get better than we were, our flexibility, our mobility as a Christian, to be able to hear God better and to be able to do the things that God wants us to do and be clearer on our mission and our vision. Because what happens is that so many of us are aligned to our past more than to God. Because we get stuck in you, and that we don't really walk in the new you. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Now, in theory, we love that verse. Because we're like, praise God, I don't have to remember my past anymore. But what happens is that that past, the effects of that past are still there. And so you know it because it creeps up into different areas of your life. Anytime you are disappointed or rejected or things don't go the way that you want them to go, all of a sudden what happens is that the old nature decides to come on up. Because it's the natural, it's the you. And the one thing about God is that God doesn't necessarily, he doesn't give you like a new you where it's like, well, Sharon is a totally different person. Her past, we don't remember her past. She never had a childhood. No, Sharon had a childhood. Sharon had a past. But God is so good that he comes in spiritually and renovates her nature so that she's new in that nature. She's not tied to that anymore. She can remember it, but she's not defined by it. And so when those things come up into our life, that's just the old Sharon, or that's just God renovating Sharon. And it's Sharon's night tonight, okay? But that process goes on our whole life. God is that God does give us reprieve, where he allows us to be excited about what he's doing and content about what he's doing, but also at the same time gives us the grace to keep moving so that he could keep working. And the reality of it is that this, there is no escape from it. There's no escape. And so you can try to avoid it, and you can try to get around it, but God is going to come in and renovate your nature and renovate your life. Because he was already coming before Adam and Eve even sinned. And so God had already decided and purposed in his mind that this is how it's going to be. I already know that they're going to mess it up, and I'm going to have to go down. It's going to be my nature that's going to cover over their sin nature, and it's going to be that thing that's going to help us get through this process, because if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. And so that's why we can be confident to know that he is the one who's going to do the work. We can't do it ourselves. It's impossible. And you know it yourself. Think about the times in your life that you tried to get better, or I'm not going to do this anymore. What do? I do it. Because it's that nature. But he says, no, if you let me do it and let me set it right, then you won't keep going back to that broken place in your life every time things get difficult in your life. That's why the Bible says, I came to make the crooked places straight. You see, and that's the issue. Because think about the one thing in your life that constantly turns the wrong way. You know the thing. You're doing well, you're in a good state, but all that one thing you keep turning, it just keeps turning you. It's that one attitude, it's that one desire, it's that one thing that pulls you over, it's that one thing that grabs your attention, it's that one conversation that just grabs your attention to the point of where you get distracted and you cannot hear what anything else is going on in the room because that thing did something to you, and it was like something familiar triggered in you, and all of a sudden it's like, why is that thing more important than what's going on over here? In a room of 20 people, I heard that one thing on that side of the room, and it tickled my that I began to gravitate toward it. And you know what? It may not have anything to do with you. But you heard something that resonated here, and all of a sudden, what did it do? Put you over. And so what God wants to do is that he wants to get us into a position of where we recognize that, listen, those are the things in your life that I'm trying to heal. Because what it's doing is that it's coming up into your life at inopportune times and wrecking your progress. And all you're doing is you're cycling back into that dysfunction, and it's not doing me any good, and it's not doing you any good. And so if you allow me to come in and heal it, I'll heal it. But there has to be a willingness to do it. And the problem is that not very many people are willing to do it. And so God sometimes has to do it the hard way. And it's not because he hates you, and it's not because he doesn't love you, but it is because he loves you so much that he does it. And so we know that there's no escape from it. And in a way, it's sad to us because we're like, you know what? I wish I could. But I didn't choose me. God chose me. And so when he chooses someone, he's committed to that person in that process. And that process, it goes on. So there's no escape from it. Second thing is this. We've got a choice. We can either bow now or bow later. You know, we don't realize that, you know, the Bible talks about this once for a man to die and then the judgment. You're going to bow now and recognize that he's Lord now, or one day when it's too late, you're going to recognize that he's Lord. And so there's a picture in here I wanted to show you guys of this girl. This is the picture. And this girl has a little bear. And Jesus is asking for that bear, just trust me. And she says, but I love it, God. What's behind Jesus? A bigger bear. And so I think until we can get into our minds that God has bigger and better things for us, not necessarily in the physical sense, but in the way we think, in the way we live, we'll always be holding to that little thing. And you know that thing that we used to do, and I know I used to do it, that little thing that was so important to us, we're like, I gotta have it. And you don't realize that God says, if you've got no idea what I have behind here that I want to give you. You've got no idea. You can't even see it right now because you're so focused on this thing. And you know when you finally let it go and then all of a sudden God opened it up, you're like, yeah! You're like, it's there. I'll take that over this. I didn't like that anyway. You know. This is what's best for me. Thank you, Lord. You're good. And I know I'm good. But I want you to know that I'm good. And I think that's the biggest struggle for the Christian, is to ultimately know that God is good in every circumstance. Because we get a glimpse of it, and we're excited about it when it happens, when we see the goodness of God, until the next time. And we struggle with, but God, I love it. But God's like, listen, but I've got something else behind here for you. And it could be the fact that there are things in our life that have disappointed us. And so what takes place in us is a lowered expectation of God, because we think that God is going to do the same that everybody else has done. And so rather than get our hopes up, we take it down and we limit God to our own experience rather than experiencing God for himself and allowing him to prove to us, no, this is who I am. How many of you love the Christmas Carol, one of the Christmas movies that come out? One of the angels, the second angel, and everyone's got different variations of who that second angel is. Sometimes they make him a big king and what he is, but one of the particular movies that I was watching, Scrooge at this point is just wrecked. His life is turned upside down. He's seeing angels. He thinks they're undigested meat. It's just crazy. He's good. God's messing with him, you know, like he does sometimes. So he approaches this angel, and he comes in, and the angel just in all the grandeur that he is, says, come in and know me, man. Just with all the confidence to say, come in and know me, because you don't know me. I want you to know me. And I think that's how God is sometimes in our life. We tread very softly with him because of our misconception about who he is, but his arms are wide open, and he's like, let's come in and just know me, man. I want you to know me. Know me. I'm not the guy you think I am or who they told you I was. Know me. And so I want to spend this portion of your life, I want you to get to know me in a different way. Let's reset this year in a new and different way, so that every time trouble comes into your life, every time a wave comes into your life, you're not scared, you're not upset, you don't say, oh, God doesn't love me, but you embrace it and say, you know what, it's okay, God does love me, and I can stand in the middle of this because of who God is, and he just wants to show me a different facet of who he is, and it's okay with me if you do it that way. Come and know me, man. As most Christians don't get into that relationship with God or where they actually know him, they know him from afar. They know him through worship. They know him by somebody else singing songs about him. They know him by a preacher preaching and saying, okay, this is what they told me. They never experience God in an intimate way and say, no, this is who God is. Isn't that one of the most important questions that you have to answer for yourself? And isn't that just a telling story in the New Testament? When Jesus is talking to Peter, and it says, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah, some say one of the prophets, and one of the most profound questions that he asked in the New Testament is the same question that he asks you today. Who say that I am? I don't care about what they say, who do you say? Because that very answer is going to define your life. And it's going to bring you into all that I have for you in your life. And it's going to help direct you where you need to be in your life. Because if you can't answer that, we'll never move forward. It'll always be about someone else or about what they say. But he's so crazy in love with you and wants a relationship with you. He says, no, what do you say? That's why you ought not to compare yourself to other people and what they're doing in their life, because what's it to you? If God takes them, what's it to you if God moves them? And if you look in the New Testament, he even said that. He said, listen, by the way, it doesn't really matter what that person is doing, but what I'd like you to do is take up your own cross and follow me. Now, because I want to reset the way you think and the way you act. Because I need you at your best. Not perfect. I need you at your best, where you know and you're living surrendered to me. Knowing that I am good. And knowing that if things do break in your life, or if there's a breaking that is taking place in your life, it is actually for good. Do you know that's how God does it? If you haven't gotten there yet, he breaks, then he blesses. You want to come into a new relationship or a new level with God? Then he's going to bless. But all along the way, doing it out of love. And how many of us walk around with old wounds in our life, and where God's saying, listen, if you'll just let me come in and heal, you won't turn like you always turn. And I think God wants to get us to that point this year where we don't return to what's comfortable for truth. The truth of the matter is, I'm loved and I'm accepted. But if I allow what I'm feeling at the moment to dictate that, I go back to what brings comfort to me. But it's not the most beneficial or healthy for me at the time. Because it offers me a false sense of security for a very short period of time. Because what happens is, it just keeps coming back up again, and I just keep going back to it again. And so God says, listen, if you allow me to come in, I can heal it. I can pack it with my grace. and you can move through it. About God. We'll never fully be done while we're here, but he brings enough healing into our life where we can see clearer, but gives us the grace in our life to keep moving and to trust him. Well, where do you see that? It's very simple. Paul in the New Testament is going through some extreme difficulties in his life. Extreme. And three times he begged God to take this messenger of Satan or what was happening in his life away from him. And God said, listen, I'm not going to take it because my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul was used tremendously, but he was broken tremendously. But God's grace intervened at the time when it needed to intervene. And Paul was one of the most powerful men of the New Testament because he allowed God's grace to hit his circumstances and not allow that to deter him from what God had called him to do. It was hard, it was difficult, but he learned the power of grace. Learned it. And you, as a believer, understand that that is a process that will take place in your life. We've got a picture above our kitchen, and the saying is, grace upon grace. Because that's what God gives us every single day to deal with the things that we need to deal with in our life as he's resetting these areas of our life to fit what he wants it to look like. And this process is necessary. It's necessary. And I don't know how many of you have gone to chiropractors or that's your deal or not, but one of the things that they do with chiropractors, and they're sly about it, wink, wink, just breathe. And they'll pull a leg or they'll do something with the hip. And all it's doing is trying to align you back up so that you feel better about yourself. But what happens is you end up going back 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, because you get back out of adjustment again. And here's the thing. I think God would say to us tonight is this. And those things are fine. I'm not making light of it because we need those things. But if you just breathe and rest in me, I've got a way of fixing it so that it'll stay. Yeah, you might remember that it was broken, but you won't stay broken in that same spot. And that'll be the very thing in your life that you'll be able to minister to people with because you saw my grace and how sufficient it was in that time and how broken you were. But listen, you've been made whole in that area. That's what I want. You know, God is not interested in you staying broken all the time. Now, doesn't it bother you in your house or in your life when things don't work? But we're funny because we do everything we can to keep that thing, to keep going. We'll patch it up. We'll do it because we don't want to spend the money, right? What happens is you got to replace it. And how much better do you feel when it's replaced and it's new? There's just a different perspective about it. Try this. When you repaint your house, you love life. It's just different. You're like, I've never seen this before. You've been living in it for years, but you're looking at it differently because it's fresh and it's new and you're excited again. It's just new. For me, it's when I change the air filter. I said, why is this thing? It's acting like a motor. All of a sudden, I change it. I'm like, oh, it just sounds so good. I feel like cleaner air is coming through. Weird. I don't know. We're all weird, right? Being reset. And so for us, in our life, what does that look like? Here's the inevitable. And the thing I recognize is this. Change is coming, whether we like it or not. We elect officials every 2 years, every 4 years. People come in and out of our lives. But the one thing that's constant is Jesus Christ. And so if we can learn to rest in him, as he's resetting those areas of our life, we will not be tossed. We will not be wavering every time things happen Because you already know change is coming. You already know that he's coming back for you. You already know that if he started it, he's going to complete it. You know it. You know the day is going to bring some issues. But while I'm resetting and while God's doing something in my life, he gives me the grace to withstand it. Listen, it may not be fixed yet. It may not ever be fixed the way you want it to be fixed. But do you trust that God is greater? And that his grace is greater? And that you could say, it's well with my soul. I think God would want us to get there this year. So you know what? It doesn't matter. It's well with me. Not the way I want it to be, it's okay. You know better. You know, one of the best things as a Christian that we can do is to give up control and say, it's yours. And when that happens, it's amazing how God begins to bring things into place. Now, God knows that we're going to try to manipulate it and control it because that's who we are as people. And there are roles that we play in our life, and God uses all those roles and our personalities to do things. But eventually, when we get to that point and we all get to it, so you know, I can't control it, all of a sudden what happens, there's a peace. There's a peace. When the fever finally breaks over a child, there's a peace. When sickness finally breaks over you, there's a peace. There's a relief. God would have us to be there. We're going to close out with a song tonight, Peace Be Still. We're about to go into 21 days of prayer and fasting starting tomorrow. This is a time where you can reset some things in your life. Well, more importantly, God resets some things in your life because you begin to see things in a new and different way. And some people say, well, what does that mean for me? What do I fast? It's not particular. It could be general. But what I would say is this. If you have questions about fasting and what do we need to fast, you can log on to our website, thecommunitychapel.org. Click on the icon. It shows you different types of fast. You've got the Daniel fast, which a lot of people do. You've got a liquid fast. You've got a juice fast. People do. Sometimes there's different parts of the day that people fast, and that's okay. Sometimes it's a soul fast requiring just media for people. Whatever God would have you to do, do it. Well, I don't have anything in particular. Do something. Because I promise you, if you do that and you focus on God during these 21 days, he will show up in a way that you have not seen him before because you are making a sacrifice and saying, God, you're more important to me than ice cream. At least for 21 days. Because God knows you're going to eat it afterward. And listen, and God knows that you're not going to be perfect on the fast. But it's the intent and the heart behind it that he's looking for. And God is so gracious and he's good. He's going to come through for you. But he's looking for us to say, listen, I'm serious about it. I want to be diligent about it. Because I'm really believing for some big things in my life this year. And if we're honest, most of us would say we need some things to break. We need some things that we've been praying about to happen in our life. And those are the things that God wants to speak to us about this year. Because God could just put it there for just to stay there. That's not the God he is. He wants it to come out 4 feet. Can we all just raise our hands up as a declaration and repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I give you this fast. I give you my life. I give you permission to come in and reset some areas of my life. I know I don't have to be perfect, but I do have to be willing. And God, I pray that you would help me to be willing so that I can be all that you called me to be in 2018. In Jesus' name.